Let's begin. Gracious God, we come this new day thankful for your mercies, which are new every morning. Lord, you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. Lord, you call us to give thanks in all circumstances. And Lord, surely we can do that because all things do work together for good, for those who you have called according to your purpose. And so, Father, we are here as the called to think again of your great name and your glory and how we ought to go about worshiping you. And Lord, as we continue this study and think today about blessings, we're reminded of how when we come to worship you and we come to honor and exalt your name, that we walk away not just built up in your word, but also blessed. And we thank you for that then. And we ask then your blessings now on this Sunday school. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. One lighthearted thing, but maybe not so lighthearted. At first I laughed when I heard, and then I thought maybe I shouldn't be laughing. But, Ron brought us, we had recently talked about arguments for why we don't need to do full immersion. And he sent me this article, Pastor Killed by Crocodile During Water Baptism. So it's a dangerous thing. Sprinkling does not have these dangers associated with them. So on the other hand, after I laughed, I realized that is pretty sad that this was a pastor out in Ethiopia. He got through one baptism, and he was going to baptize about 80 people. And it said, then one of the creatures leaped out of the water and grabbed the pastor. So, very scary, scary thing here. I will put that in the archive for reasons why to sprinkle. who needs a handout? This is the handout we've been working through. Mr. Elder Hibbets here will... we have, as I mentioned in the prayer, we've gotten to the section on blessings. We spent several weeks talking about sacraments. And again, remind us what we're doing, right? We've been going through a series on worship, specifically trying to think about why we do what we do here and what are the elements of worship. And today is the last of the elements in terms of God's part to the people. Next time we'll get into our part to God. And remember, we talked about the back and forth aspect, the dialogical nature of worship, where it's God speaking and the people responding and vice versa. And so in this last one, we're going to talk about blessings. And let's go ahead and we'll do like we've been doing. We'll read through the part in the Directory for Public Worship to get us thinking about the subject. I'll make a few comments as we read each of the sections, and then afterward we'll step back and look at some Bible verses to more show the biblical basis for all of this. So why don't we begin with 5a. Julie, you want to read 5a for us?
The salutation and the benedictions are blessings pronounced in God's name and in His own words. Accordingly, they are properly used only in gathering in Christ's church and by the minister of the word.
All right. So here you find at the beginning some initial definitions here of what's called a salutation and a benediction. And you'll find that I think if you go to enough different Reformed churches, you'll be hard-pressed to come to a church where you don't find a benediction. But salutation might be one that's more not always at every single Reformed congregation. The difference being they're both types of blessings. The salutation specifically being at the start of the service. The benediction at the close of the service. Not being a Latin expert, but from what little I know here, I'm pretty sure that benediction is more of Jeff saying he's a Latin expert. Tell us benediction.
Good saying.
Good saying. That's right. Bene, right? Kind of like in Spanish, buenos bene or bien, benediction. So the word benediction doesn't necessarily specify where you might put it. But for varied reasons, we'll talk more about. We tend to see that benediction at toward the end of the service. Whereas salutation, what's the word salutation mean?
Greetings.
Greetings, that's right. In Spanish, I don't know much Latin, but I know Spanish a little bit. And saludos, I think, is probably the same root. And saludos, as far as I understand, is greetings. And so you don't have a salutation at the end of the service. That maybe that doesn't make sense. The salutation put at the beginning is a greeting in the form of a blessing from God. And I would note that it was under the Mosaic Covenant that we find the Levitical priesthood specifically charged with giving these blessings to the people of God. And we'll look at that text later on. But certainly that's part of what's behind here when it talks about these church blessings being used in the context of the church and an assembly and by a minister of the word, that there is an authoritativeness in the way that they're speaking on behalf of God and proclaiming these benedictions. And so that's why it is the practice of Reformed churches to have the minister of the word be the one who gives a benediction. If we had an intern training or even an elder, we don't have them give the benediction. I would note, I think this is a good place to make a note of one of my pet peeves. What's a doxology? Anybody know a doxology? We sing some doxologies.
A song of praise.
A song of praise. Literally, it's a word of glory or a word of praise, but often sung. And my pet peeve is this, is that sometimes you go to churches, and in the benediction that they call a benediction, it's really a doxology. What I mean is, a benediction is God blessing, right? The Lord bless you. That type of thing. A doxology is praise be to God. And there are some great doxologies that we find, particularly in the New Testament epistles, that if you keep an ear open, you'll see sometimes get quoted as benedictions in different places, and they're not really benedictions. The one at the end of Jude is one that comes to my mind. The end of Jude is very much a doxology, not a benediction, but anyways. So I think it is important to note the difference. It is interesting to note, right, we end our service with a benediction, followed by a doxology. And so to note the difference, right, they are two different things. So, okay, good. Questions on any of that so far? Okay. Again, we'll look at some scriptures on this in a moment. And again, I'm happy if people want to conclude their service with a doxology. Just label it in the bulletin, doxology, and not benediction. That's all I'm saying. So, okay, point B, 4B. Who's got 4B? Judy, you want to read 4B for us?
A salutation is a greeting from God to His people who have gathered to worship Him. It is fittingly pronounced immediately before or after the call to worship. Words of salutation from Scripture are to be used, such as the opening greeting from one of the New Testament epistles, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ."
Good. And I don't have much more to add on this other than to say that's the one I typically use, and we'll look at some scriptures later at different salutations used in the New Testament, and you'll find that one's a repeated one. So that same language there is found in multiple places. Therefore, it's the one I think is especially helpful and a blessing to make use of. 4C, who'd like to do 4C? Marilyn.
Okay. A benediction is a pronouncement of God's blessing upon His people at the conclusion of worship service. Words of benediction taken from Scripture are to be used. The high priestly benediction, "The Lord bless you, the Lord lift His countenance, the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make His face shine upon you." and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance up upon thee and give you blessing. Give you peace. From Numbers 6, 24 through 26. Or the Trinitarian Apostolic Benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with all. From 2 Corinthians 13, 14. Are distinctly appropriate. If, however, the minister deems another benediction taken from Scripture more fitting for a particular occasion, he may use it.
And that 2 Corinthians one is the one I use most typically, and I particularly like to use it because it's very clearly Trinitarian, you know, nature to it. I think it's a very fitting, ordinary one to use. Not because of any special reason per se, but it's been our practice that we do the Aaronic blessing, the one there from Numbers on the Lord's Day service. I can't recall now when I first got here if I was told that's what's normally done or that's what I started doing. I can't recall. One of those two are the case, but I know when I got here 10 years ago now, or a little more than 10 years ago, we had for communion services a few things that were always done. For example, the same confession of faith passage is used. We use a specific doxology with alleluias, and so I thought it'd be good practice to have a specific and special benediction. And again, I don't remember if I decided that or that was already the practice, but that's currently what we've been doing, at least in the 10 years I've been here. And again, there's not a scriptural requirement per se, one way or the other, to use one in any frequency or not, but that's certainly what we've done. I sometimes use the one, I like to use the one, the Hebrews one. There's one at the end of Hebrews on the Good Friday service. I like to use that. It's the one that talks about the blood of Christ. And it's a rather long one. So I tend to not use it as frequently. But it is one that's nice on an occasion like the Good Friday service. You will note that I mentioned earlier of churches having their ministers do it. And if their minister's not there, that they don't do the benediction that Sunday. What's often, or at least a common practice, when, a student pastor is preaching, or for whatever reason, someone other than one of them, a minister, that they'll often, instead of having the benediction at the end, they'll use the Lord's Prayer to close out the service, and they'll invite everybody to join them in praying the Lord's Prayer, and that's a very common practice you'll find in Reformed churches. Questions on any of those things we've mentioned so far? Jim, you look like you have a question.
In your absence, and we do have an ordained licensure preaching, can they serve communion and benediction and
So, not a licentiate.
No, I'm talking about an ordained.
But an ordained minister could, yes. Yes. They, in fact, I assume when I'm not here, we typically have ordained ministers who visit and preach. I assume they give the benediction. That would be my assumption. They certainly could do communion, though our session tends to be of the preference to just reschedule it for when I am able to be here, not because they couldn't do it.
A lot of things that are connected to that when we have the current pastor here.
Yeah, think about it from a shepherding standpoint as well, and yeah, absolutely. When we have a visitor, like sometimes we've had licentiates come, like recently we had Ryan Stoddard. He's not a ministry yet, he's a licentiate, which is essentially a pastor in training. So I assume he doesn't do the benediction. If he does, let me know. We'll get this all fixed here. the same way, like when we've had Mike Autry preach in the past, he wouldn't have done the benediction either. So, though now he's ordained. So. All right. Any other questions on that? Otherwise, I'm going to dig into some Bible passages here. Okay. So, first place I was going to have us turn is Numbers 6. And I'm noticing, of course, that, but let's turn there anyways, that we just had it quoted in point C there, but part of doing something like this is for us to see it in our own Bibles, to realize there's a biblical foundation for why we do what we do. The notion of
number six,
22 through 27. Sarah Miller, why don't you read that for us?
And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them."
Okay, good. So I think there's a couple neat things to note here. First off, like, we can think of blessings in general, right? Like, even though it may be used in a rote way and not with meaning like it should be, people sneeze and say, "God bless you," right? Like, the notion of people blessing each other is okay. There's nothing wrong with that. We see non-church blessings within the Bible as well. But there is this notion of the officer, an officer of the church, blessing the people. And in this case, under the Old Covenant, it was through the Levitical priesthood. Notice it says in verse 23, "Speak to Aaron and his sons." And so not just the Levites in general, but the Aaronic priesthood, I guess, would be a more specific thing to say. The Aaronic priesthood. What's another priesthood we see in the Bible?
Melchizedek,
thank you. That was not on my notes. That was just a quiz here because we've been going through this in Hebrews. So good job. And so see who's blessing who. Who's blessing who here? God's blessing the people. And so it's fitting then that the regular mediator there would be the one bringing the blessing, right? The priesthood. You can think of priests and prophets in the Old Covenant. The prophets were not the regular mediator in the sense of prophets, you know, are more occasional. As the needs arise, God would raise up prophets and speak to special issues. There might be seasons of time where there weren't prophets, but the priesthood was supposed to be a continual office from one generation down to the next, there to regularly bless the people of God on behalf of God. And I love verse 27, which is maybe one of the reasons to read this that we wouldn't have gotten if we had just looked at the directory there, because it didn't quote that. It describes in verse 27 part of what's going on when we're blessed. Do you guys see that? What's it say? The children of Israel. Okay, what else?
He will put my name on the
name. There we go, Renee. This is God putting God's name on Israel. And so we can think about, like, the different Bible passages that exalt the great name of God. Right? God's name is the name above all names. And the name is especially connected with His authority and His glory. And so for us to get His name put upon us is a way in which we are marked out, distinct from the rest of the world. It's part of the holiness. When we think of God being holy, there's a way in which God is holy, different than any other thing we might refer to as holy. But then to think about, like, why we as Christians can be called holy, it's related to the fact that the Holy One has put His name on us. And I think it's very interesting in Acts when we find when they first begin to be called Christians. There's some scholarly exegesis that seems to think that that might have been sort of a derogatory term that outsiders put on Christians. But if it was meant that way, we happily embrace it, right? Can you think of a better name to be having the name of Christ put on us in our very identification? I gladly take that name, Christians. That's at the heart of who we are, is our union with Christ. And so to think of the great name of God being placed upon us every time we have benedictions. Which I think is also why it's very fitting for us that now in the New Covenant, not only do we make use of that Aaronic blessing which we just read here, but also some of those blessings, those benedictions that we find so clearly written in the New Testament, particularly in the New Testament epistles. Did I see a hand back here?
Just a comment. You mentioned putting there God putting his mark with his name.
Yeah.
You can see that with circumcision and baptism. Mm. Putting his mark on his...
Yeah, absolutely. And there's where you can kind of see there are certain connections and similarities between all the elements of worship that have to do with God's part to the people. We can see certain similar themes here in all of this. So,
verse number 27, what it means when it says, so they shall put my name on the children of Israel.
It's identifying the blessing that they give. The blessing is what they're putting on the people.
Okay.
When they put the blessing on the people, he's saying to put the blessing on the people is equals to put my name on the people. So you notice in 24 and 25, it's the priest putting upon the people the blessing that says, "The Lord bless you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance." Three times, "The Lord." And notice in the Bible, I assume this is the case for probably every translation we have here, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. What does it mean? Diego, do you remember what it means when all four letters are capitalized? More specific.
Jehovah,
that's right, or Yahweh, depending how you pronounce it or with the vowels. So remember, when God revealed himself to Moses, he asked, what do we call you? And he says, I am who I am. And the shortened version of that being Yahweh or maybe Jehovah, depending on the vowels and the pronunciation of it. When your Bibles in the Old Testament capitalize L-O-R-D like that, it means it's using that name Yahweh in there. And which is really the personal name for God as he's revealed himself under the Old Covenant. And that's different than when you just see L capitalized in lowercase O-R-D. That would be the Greek word, the Hebrew word typically that's used in that case would be Adonai, which is just more a generic title for Lord or Sir. And so this isn't saying, the Lord, in that generic sense. It's not saying Adonai bless you. It's saying Yahweh bless you. And we want to think of the name of God. We don't tend to think of Adonai in the sense of the name of God. We think of Yahweh or Jehovah as the name of God. And that's what's being put upon them when this blessing is given. So,
it's identification.
That's right. That's right.
Just like the tradition in Matthew 28, God make disciples in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And this is, you can cross-reference a number of thoughts along that line. So when you get to the Ten Commandments and it says, I am the Lord, I am Yahweh who brought you out of the land of Egypt, have no other gods before me. It's making not just a monotheistic claim, which is that. It's also saying anti-syncretism. Baal, Chemosh, Molech, Zeus, right? All these gods are not actually gods, and you must not put them before the one true God, or even identify the one true God as those things, because those things are a different God that is no God, that are no God. So this doesn't say Zeus bless you or Baal bless you. It says Yahweh bless you. Yeah, and so it's a specific name being put upon us. Good. Let's talk a little bit then about salutations. We see in the New Testament epistles a lot of salutations and a lot of benedictions. And again, for the sake of discussing and thinking of a blessing at the beginning and a blessing at the end, it's kind of what we're talking about here. Let's just start with Romans. Just flip over in your Bible to Romans. And what you'll find is that every single New Testament letter that was explicitly written to a church has some sort of salutation. In other words, ones that are written to individuals, may not have them, but ones that are written specifically to a church, we find a salutation. And so I'm just going to sort of quickly survey this, so be ready to flip along with me. Romans 1:7. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saved, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that sound familiar? Flip over to 1 Corinthians now, 1. If I say the book, you can automatically assume it's going to be in chapter 1, because we're talking salutations here. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Hey, there we go. Grace, you, and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Flip over to 2 Corinthians 1, 2. Second Corinthians 1, 2. Look familiar? Same one. Flip over to Galatians 1, 3. Paul's consistent. Galatians 1:3, same thing. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:2. Same thing. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:2. Again, the same one. Okay. Colossians 1:2. Yeah, all these 1:2s even. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then 1 Thessalonians 1:1. Again, you see the same thing. Addresses Thessalonians and has the same salutation. 2 Thessalonians 1:2, same exact one. Okay, now we'll get to a little different. We're changing author now, and so we get a little bit more variety. 1 Peter 1:2. What's that?
1 Timothy. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and the reason I didn't read that one is we're talking today the benedictions and blessings used to the church. And that one, arguably, is first and foremost to Timothy directly. So that was the reason I chose to skip over that one. But there's a similar idea there, too. But 1 Peter 1, 2, where are we at? To the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. So he's got a benediction right there at the beginning as well. Flip over to 2 Peter 1:2. Similar one, though slightly expanded here. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And so there you see a God reference and Christ reference. And one last one on the salutations, Jude 1 verse 2. Jude 1, verse 2, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. And so, this is just a little quick survey on salutations. Maybe you didn't realize how many salutations are there, but there's a lot of salutations, a lot of opening blessings. And if you recall, Paul, at points, commands his letters to be read during the assemblies of the church. And so, if nothing else, that seals the point that these things are fitting to have in the service, because he says to be using them in the service. Renee?
The comment to it is to see the consistency of Paul's trying to communicate to the churches and the Jews that without grace, there's no peace.
Mm. Yeah, the recognition of them, those two things together. You know, there's amazing, there's a lot of things one could say in a salutation, right, with regard to the Christian faith. But to see how common those things are paired together, I think certainly is something, right? If you're going to have the peace that we all want, it's going to require that grace from God. That peace that does come from God is act of grace. Those things are very much connected. And to see then Peter using those same pairings, grace and peace in both of them, very, very important. And then in Jude, different author, mercy and peace, and mercy and grace are pretty closely connected there. So these things are certainly fitting to be used in public worship. I would note as a side note, something we didn't per se observe in that little survey, is that in addition to these examples of salutations, we find several New Testament passages that command greetings from brothers to other brothers. So in this case, for example, 1 Corinthians 16:20, all the brothers send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Or 2 Corinthians 13:12, greet one another with a holy kiss. And so it's exciting to think about the fact that we are commanded to greet others, to see how in the Scriptures God also greets us. Right? Isn't it great when you walk into church and somebody says, you know, calls you by name, welcomes, good to see you. You feel good to be greeted. And to think then, how we begin our service with God greeting us. A reminder that He is here to bless us and to be with us. Questions on salutations? Yeah.
It's interesting to note, though, that, by the way, I'm fine. Greetings from the Covenant of
Opus
of Monterey Bay.
Oh, excellent. We love brotherly greetings. Welcome.
It's interesting that Paul is questioning Galatians. He says for the greeting before he says he has admonished them.
Mm.
He says, I am astonished. Verse 6 here. Yeah. So he greets them first.
Yeah.
Reminds them that I love you, but here's what you're doing wrong. You know, don't do that.
That's some good practical wisdom right there, right? Like if you ever have words to, you know, lovingly chasten a brother or sister, to begin with greeting and even a positive note goes a long way. Yeah, amen, amen. Good. Glad you're here visiting us. okay, so let's talk a little bit about benedictions. So we see, again, we could do a similar sort of survey in the Scriptures. And why don't we look at just a few. Let's start at Romans, over in Romans, Romans 16. Romans 16:24, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. That's a benediction there. Now notice, and this is, I don't like this. My other pew Bibles, I'm gonna complain. You see what it says there on the pew Bibles, and it says underneath 24 a benediction, and then it says, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now has been made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures has been made known to all the nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith, to God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Who's going to write to the editor for me here?
That's a doxology.
You see, that says benediction. It's not just some of our churches that have this struggle here. This is a doxology. See, it's to him. Who's the to him? God. To him, verse 27, alone be wise glory, right? This is glorying God. I mean, the word actually, right? The doxa word. The doxology is Greek. Doxa and logos. Word, doxa is glory. glory right there. That's I'm certain that word in 27 is doxa. So this is literally a doxology, but they put it as a benediction. So the benediction actually was the verse 24. And then he has a doxology, which is interesting. Again, to think about what we do here, there's actually some method to the madness, right? We have a benediction followed by a doxology. That's not inappropriate to do. In fact, we see it here. So, and you can think about that when we'll get into next time or our next section on our response, right? It's fitting to respond to a blessing from God with a hallelujah, right? With a praise. Amen. We're blessed. Praise God. So we see that here. Let's flip over to 1 Corinthians 16. I thought we were in Romans 16. got me concerned there. I was confusing you all here. 1 Corinthians 16:23. He says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus." Amen. 24 would not be the benediction. 24 would be a sort of personal, a personal blessing, right? And that's fine. But 23. Recognizing him, bringing God's name into it. And again, we think of the Lord's name being put upon us in these things. Galatians 6:18. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Ephesians 6:23. Peace to the brethren. And love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Again, you can see some different variety in these, which is nice. Philippians 4:23. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. That seems to be one of Paul's most favorite ones. Colossians 4:18. This, of course, I probably his shortest one. When I say Colossians 4:18, it's the very end. Grace be with you. Amen. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:28. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. You'll find the same thing at the end of 2 Thessalonians 3:18. And then Hebrews is a little bit longer one. Flip over to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13:20-21. Hebrews 13:20-21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, yes, there's an embedded doxology there at the end, but it's part of the larger benediction that's being placed upon them to make them complete in every good work to do His will, etc. So that also is a nice one. And you get a double blessing in Hebrews, because you read down a little bit farther, Hebrews 13:25, grace be with you all. Amen. We also find these at the end of 1 Peter and 2 Peter has more of a prayer for growth followed by a doxology, but 1 Peter has a more traditional benediction. 1 Peter 5:14. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. So we've done a bit of a survey here, first on salutations, then on benedictions. You can see there's some variety that we find in the inspired New Testament scriptures, as well as the Aaronic priesthood blessing that comes under the Old Covenant, and certainly is very fitting still under the New Covenant. There are a few other questions that might come up along these lines. One of them would be, why does the minister typically raise hands? why or what should you do? You know, if you're the recipient, should you have eyes closed, eyes up? Those are questions that come up, and I will tell you all about them in 2 weeks. I say in 2 weeks because this week is family camp. If you recall the practice on family camp week, since I'm down in camp not writing sermons, I swap pulpits with one of the other local pastors. So next week, Pastor Wayne Forkner, the Berkeley pastor, will be here. He'll be doing Sunday school and he'll be preaching. I'll be out there doing their morning and afternoon service. So appreciate your prayers for that. We will finish up these and a few other last related topics under benedictions next time. Let's go ahead and ask God's blessing now. Heavenly Father, we do rejoice in all the blessings you give us, and we thank you for the chance to consider them here today. And we ask, Lord, as we take a break and soon start the service, that we would indeed be blessed as we gather, as we hear your word, as we fellowship together. May you be at work with that grace and peace that you have put upon your people in the very name of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.